From the KCPW Danker Studios at Library Square, this is Downtown SLC, a show that explores the people, places, and events shaping Utah's urban center. I'm your host, Jason Mathis. Like the rest of downtown's skyline, our food scene in our urban center is truly on the rise. Joining me today will be Jimmy Santangelo, the educator and founder of the Wine Academy of Utah, talking about the restaurants downtown and the impact that wine, wine education, and understanding the relationship between wine and food is having on downtown eateries. All of that after this news from the BBC. Welcome back. You are listening to Downtown SLC on KCPW. I'm your host, Jason Mathis, with the Downtown Alliance, joined today by my dear friend, Jimmy Santangelo. Jimmy, thanks for being here.
You're welcome, Jason. Nice to be here.
Jimmy is the owner, the proprietor, the founder, any lofty word that you could use, of the Wine Academy of Utah. And Jimmy, maybe to start out, you can talk a little bit about what the Wine Academy is for anyone out there who doesn't know.
No, absolutely. The Wine Academy of Utah is an organization where we certify people in various levels of wine and spirits. We are licensed with a company established in the UK out of London, and we provide internationally recognized certificates in various levels, level one, level two. But the company also provides educational events, not only on a certification level for both enthusiasts, people like yourselves who are interested in more education in wine and spirits, when they can go to the wine store and understand.
And know what you're talking about, yeah.
Yeah, know what the labels are, things like that. But also for the industry professional, whether you're in the back of the house as a line cook, all the way up to an executive chef, or a server for the first time, or a manager, you're getting your wine knowledge on.
So this is kind of a personal question. I hope you will not be offended by this.
Sure.
How do you come to become a wine expert, a professional, in a state that certainly has a lot of wine enthusiasts, and there are plenty of people in our community who do drink and who enjoy wine? We're not necessarily known around the world as a wine state, and you're not from Utah originally. So how did you come to have this kind of unique job here in our community, in our downtown?
Yeah, you know, Utah, when you see Utah, you don't think wine destination.
Right.
You know, and the discovery process for me was I relocated to Salt Lake when I went to the University of Utah for college. At that time, I was living in Los Angeles, and I was always visiting an uncle that lived here to go skiing.
Mm-hmm. So the snow drew you.
Snow drew me, yeah. And what kept me was this. Were the summers.
Yeah.
What really, I was here over a holiday, Pioneer Day, over a summer, my first summer visit. Usually it was always in the winters.
Right.
And it was so beautiful over an area, as we all know. And that's what really transferred me over to Salt Lake. And while I was here, the University of Utah was on a quarterly system at that time at the U.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't two semesters, but it was the three-quarter semester, and I was scratching my head going, what the hell kind of a job am I going to get? You know, my schedule is going to constantly change.
Right.
And my uncle Peter, who lived up in Park City at the time, he's a hairdresser up there. He has Peter Anthony Hair and Body Studio. And he said, why don't you be a server? Why don't you be a waiter?
Yeah.
And the only experience I had in food and beverage at that time was a summer that I was doing hot dogs at Chet's Hot Dog Stand, and I was the grill man.
And is this in Los Angeles?
This was actually in upstate New York, in Buffalo, New York, when I was a kid.
The hot dog stand.
Yep, I was at a hot dog stand, and I was rolling dogs over the Charbroil Grill, and you know, New York can be a little humid and hot. So it was, but I loved it.
That's where I got my start in food and beverage. Hospitality industry, yeah.
And not only that, but I found my voice. I found my voice behind the grill. People were coming in. You had that long line, and they had to order from the person that was ringing up the orders, and we would shout out the dogs. And I began my voice, so if I saw the local cabbie, or I saw the cops would come in a lot, the police, and I would point my fork and go, hey, how many you want? What you want? What you need? What you got?
And I
started getting the orders before they were even putting them in. And I found this vibe. I caught the bug.
Mm-hmm.
I caught the bug of it. And that's where it started for me. And when I was here in Utah, scratching my head, because prior to that, I had a profession in publishing, mm-hmm. and I was looking at publishers here, and as editorial coordinator, I had a role in the business community, but it didn't fit the structure of, hey, I got to go to college, so right. my schedule is going to change. So Stein Erickson Lodge. Got a job up there, the Glitterton Restaurant,
right.
daytime server.
That really is a wine destination.
Great wine destination, and that's really where it came together for me. Mm-hmm. And the bug of being in this field was established at Stein's when being during the day, accommodating a kind of a demanding guest who mm-hmm. knew what they wanted,
right.
Beverages. And I remember the first time somebody asked me at Après-Ski, I'll have a mulled wine. And I said, excuse me, what was it?
You want mold in your wine?
You want moldy wine? So a mulled wine, yeah. please. And I said, okay. So I went to the bartender, and he was an English chap. And I said, he wants a mulled wine? And he educated me real quick on what it was, a behavior and all.
Yeah.
And so I'll never forget what a mulled wine is. The Pinot Noir bulb, the right. cinnamon, the orange, the clove, Merlot. At that time we were using warmed. And I just thought it was so neat, this world of food and beverage, you know, well beyond, far beyond the hot dog stand.
Right.
And then I quick order became a back server at night mm-hmm. at Stein's. And this is really where I knew this industry was for me, was we did dessert service tableside, and we had flambéed not mm-hmm. only desserts but drinks. So as a back server, it was our responsibility to do that. Very busy evening, you had to bring out the tray jack, the big oval tray, linen, all the ingredients. It had to be done quickly. It had to be done properly. You had one time to ignite that liqueur in
right,
there.
Right.
Dollop the whipping cream, caramelization. And I'll throw a New York bada boom, bada bing, and here it goes, right? So when I was going through that process, it was really interesting to see the impact it had on the guest, that experience. It changed their night.
It's not just about what you're maybe putting into your mouth. It's really the whole experience of the service
right.
and the entertainment component and the appreciation for the effort that goes into food or alcohol that is carefully and thoughtfully crafted, carefully prepared,
right.
served in the right way. I mean, there really is an art to that.
No, absolutely. It's a trade.
Yeah, it really
and
is.
With trade, there's craft.
Yeah.
And this craft that I saw, you could do it well, or you can do it great.
Yeah.
And I wanted to do it great. What being a server is all about, to impact the guest's experience mm-hmm. during their dining cycle, during their evening eating, mm-hmm. was really very special to me. I identified with it.
Yeah. So fast forward to the Wine Academy of Utah, and then you also do a lot of work, which is where I often see you, at downtown restaurants. You've got some restaurants where you are, explain exactly the role that you have, whether it's
sure.
at Copper or at the New Current, or what? How do you work with restaurants in terms of helping to create that service level and that knowledge base for,
sure.
for wine or spirits?
The Wine Academy of Utah was established out of both consulting for beverage programs, as well as the education of staff. The education of staff on a certificate level is where the Wine Academy of Utah comes in, because we have that jacket of certifications where we can come in and qualify our people, send them through a program, and they get a lapel pin to recognize their level of achievement, as well as a printed certificate. The consulting arm of the Wine Academy of Utah is to manage beverage lists and programs. Mm-hmm. When I was here in Salt Lake in the mid-90s until 2002, just after the Olympics, I relocated to Atlantic City, New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I really got the wine bug and got my own personal certification. So how a guy gets become a sommelier here in the state of Utah, you almost have to do it outside of the state
right.
of Utah. And then you bring that great knowledge back here.
And is that your title? Is that the official?
I'm a sommelier. I'm a certified sommelier.
Yeah.
But the term sommelier and the certified sommelier is more of an American adaptation, mm-hmm. adoption for the Court of Masters program here in the United States that provides various levels. There's two masters of recognition in the wine world, the Master Sommelier, MS for short, which is through the Quartermasters, and then the MW, Master of Wine. I study both programs and am certified in both to various levels. Mm-hmm. The Master of Wine side, I can certify people in various levels of a Master of Wine. I am not a master of either, but I've got various levels in each.
So for someone like me who has an appreciation, but maybe not that level of education, when I imagine this, I think, you know, there's a lot of guys standing around sipping and spitting and, you know, developing their palates or seeing, sure, if they have their palates. But it's knowledge-based. It's understanding different regions. It's understanding different varietals. Talk about what that means. Like, I think, you know, one way that you can appreciate something more, whether it's classical music or a sport or a neighborhood or wine, is by knowing more about it. That increases my appreciation. And I think that's true with wine also.
No, absolutely. You have various disciplines in order to become a master to appreciate wine. And a lot of it is understanding your regions, as you mentioned. When new servers come to me and they say, hey, I want to learn more about wine. What great book do you recommend? And the first thing I say is grab a map of the world and understand your countries first.
Yeah,
understand your geography of wine. And then we can start talking and breaking down and identifying what wines are from what region. It's a very fundamental approach, very basic approach. Once you establish that strong foundation of your wine knowledge, of your geography and some of your lip, that's when the rubber really hits the road. For example, in a level 2 class with the Wine Academy of Utah, through the program, we taste over a period of 8 weeks, 44 wines, mm-hmm, 6 spirits. You get a textbook. You get a study guide. I even provide you with the official tasting glasses.
Yeah.
And each week we'll go through a particular specific topic of study that you'll have had studied. We then present it, very collegiate in its approach, present it in a hour, 60 to 90 minute PowerPoint program of really honing in.
Yeah.
And then the balance of the class is we taste 6 samples.
That's the dessert part of the class.
That's the best part. Is that why you always show up late to
class? Yeah, right, exactly. I can't make it to the first part.
I can't make it to the first part.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
But the educational component for that is very thorough.
Yeah.
In the discipline of the Wine and Spirits Education Trust. That's that arm of the becoming a MW, Master of Wine. A lot of people who attend those classes are enthusiasts, food writers, professionals in their own field of an executive professional. Maybe they're entertaining and they want to learn more about wine. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the industry professional in the hospitality industry, which can be broken out from retail all the way up to resort property and everything in between. With the Court of Masters, that's really designed self-study, designed for the industry professional. Mm-hmm. When I was studying with that program, we would get together with 6 to 8 people every Monday night, blind tastings, really honing our skills. Mm-hmm. And those exams are very much of a gut check. They test you. It's a written exam, practical, blind tasting, which is the blind tasting, and then a practical where you have to mock service in front of a master sommelier. So their question, it's an oral exam, and then you have to actually open up. You either pull champagne service, sparkling wine service, or decanting.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to perform that task. But before you perform that task at an expert level, they ask you questions basically to the level of your incompetence, to level,
you to see what
weed you out.
Yeah.
And that's always fun to do as a gut check right there. Let me tell you, that's how, I mean, men and women are coming out of that exam, you know, face in hands.
Yeah.
I mean, it crushes you pretty quick. Well, that's what it's about.
It's interesting because there is so much knowledge and such a rich history and rich culture with wine and so much that's going into the thought process about how a restaurant might develop their list or why some wines work well in certain circumstances or with certain foods or certain tastes or certain, you know, it's really a very, very complex world that not everybody is familiar with, and you help to bring that to people. We're gonna take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the practical application of all this knowledge, the way that people can get involved with the Wine Academy of Utah, and we will be back after these messages. We are back. You're listening to Downtown SLC on KCPW. I'm your host, Jason Mathis, with the Downtown Alliance. Joining me today, my friend, Jimmy Santangelo. Jimmy is the founder and educator of the Wine Academy of Utah. Jimmy, thanks for being here today.
You got it. Thank you.
I wanted to talk a little bit about the classes that you teach. We actually had one of these courses in our office, and I want to point out that you don't have to be a drinker to come to these classes and learn a lot about what is a part of American culture, a part of our lives. I think it's actually very helpful for people who are not drinkers, because you never know when you might be in a social circumstance where wine will come up. Maybe you're out with clients and you need to order a bottle of wine for the table. You don't want to feel foolish. You don't have to drink wine necessarily to have an appreciation and understanding for the complexities and the value that wine brings to our culture. So maybe just talk a little bit about some of the courses that you teach for people.
Sure.
That provide that learning.
No, absolutely. We have each month I'm at the Leonardo Museum with a wine tasting event, a food and wine tasting event. Zanetta Jones, the chef there, prepares anywhere from 4 to 5 courses, and we pair out wines with that. So each month, the first Thursday of the month, you can find us there. But also, we've designed with the Wine Academy of Utah, we have various classes, one class called the olfactory tasting, and it's really based on stimulating your olfactory senses. Basically, I make you smell things, mm-hmm. and we identify those aromatic characteristics, and we match them with wines. Some people find it surprising, about 80% of assessing a wine is through sight and its smell, aromatic component.
Not even how it tastes.
Not even how it tastes. The 20% really brings it together. It's an important 20%, mm-hmm. but it's not the majority.
Mm-hmm.
And in food and beverage, no matter what region in the country, I've taught all the way from the East Coast, Central here, and the West Coast, there's drinkers and non-drinkers for whatever reason, mm-hmm. for various reasons. But they're in the profession mm-hmm. of having to explain what wine is like. So for those non-drinkers, I've designed all my classes with the intention of, hey, you don't have to sip at all, but you do have to understand it.
Yeah.
So we have a great olfactory tasting class, which is either professional, it's originally designed for the service component, but I've modified that class, and I've been doing this class for over 10 years as an in-home wine event. Mm-hmm. Really spices up a cocktail party, and the way that this olfactory class is designed is we'll have a bowl of limes and grapefruits, and I ask everybody to pass around the limes and grapefruits, prime your aromatics.
Just smelling it.
I'm positively biasing your olfactory senses. Mm-hmm. I'm lending my University of Utah degree there.
There you go.
The behavioral science technique right there. So, and then after I've primed your aromatics, your sense of smell, I ask everybody to spin that first glass of wine that's there at the table, and they smell a New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc, mm-hmm. which is very heavy emphasis on that kind of aromatic profile. And 9 times out of 10, people are like, okay, here's the limes and here's the grapefruits. Got it. Thanks. Boy, this is a fun wine class.
Right.
Then all of a sudden they spin the wine. They're like, oh my God, it totally smells just like that.
Right.
And what we're doing there is we're emphasizing the aromatics for you. Because if I did not have that experience of that grapefruit or lime and making
just
you smell
before.
That just before,
yeah.
and if we just said, I want you to concentrate and think of your sense of reference of a grapefruit, and mine may be totally different, mm-hmm. so you're not going to get it. But when I positively bias your aromatic senses with smelling, everybody's smelling the exact same lime and grapefruit, that's where you're learning. That's where that bridge of you'll never forget what a New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc.
Yeah, that
citrusy tends to smell like. And we do that 6 times.
Okay.
So we do that 3 whites, 3 reds. And it's also visual stimulation with the reds. Once you buy in with the smelling of mm-hmm. the whites, then I impact your visual senses with the reds, with vibrant fruits. So this is a class that we can take somebody from a non-drinker mm-hmm. who's never consumed beverage before and really hit the ground run. They're going to leave that class knowing 6 wines solid. And that's why it was designed for the service component. But it's a lot of fun to do in the home.
Yeah.
And then we have other classes such as the Executive Wine Series, where I walk you through a 10-bullet point of how to navigate a restaurant wine list. And that's a lot of fun because that was a class designed, and that's the class that we've done for the Downtown Alliance folks.
Yeah.
And it allows people to be able to feel stress-free, feel confident of going into a restaurant, opening up a wine list, and having 10 techniques, approaches of how to order wine without ever have had it before.
One of the guys that works with us has a joke that he always just orders the second cheapest bottle. That's not always the best strategy.
That's right.
Yeah. Before we wrap up, speaking of wine lists and restaurants, I wanted to get your take on dining downtown right now. We've had some great restaurants open up. I saw you at Current earlier this week where you're helping to work with Joel LaSalle and Michael Trapp. But Finca opened up recently. You've been at Copper Kitchen and Copper Onion
for three years.
So talk a little bit about how you see the restaurant culture, the industry in downtown right now.
It's exploding. Downtown is rising.
It really is.
And there are, as you had mentioned, with Finca, seeing Scotty Evans have Finca down there is fantastic. Really bring in a great dining option to our community. Valters, which has taken over the
Valters
fantastic.
Osteria,
Karen Olson's Metropolitan Restaurant, which I still have my heart in that place. I had an opportunity to be a server there for many, many years.
Yeah.
Copper Onion had an opportunity when I saw Ryan Lauder for the first time down there, his press release. This was many years back before it was opening. I was like, isn't it that Mr. Z's place?
Yeah, right. Mr. Z's Cucina Italiana or something.
And I couldn't wait for it to open, and I heard so much great things about it. It's a highlight of my career of having an opportunity to work with those guys for three strong years down here, seeing how the community Palette's
fantastic.
Bijan is a bartender down there, took the reins for Matt Pohl, another great mixologist in our community, just crushing it down there with some great handcrafted cocktails, being very inventive. You've got, you know, some of the old finds. Martine, I ate at the other day. Amazing.
So lovely. Yeah.
What a neighborhood little hidden secret in our community.
Yeah.
And as you had mentioned, just kind of rounding out at Current Fish and Oyster, just beginning the start of that corridor coming into our community on Broadway.
Yeah.
They're at 3rd and 3rd, and just clean food, the talent of Logan Crew, the chef from Fresco and part of the Trio Restaurant Group, leading the reins there. That food is so pristine and clean, and what a great opportunity for me to have the beverage program there to run that and to select the wines that are just food and wine friendly. And I've got one or two on the list that if you want to have that, you know, big, rich, buttery, oaky shard, I got it for you. But not all of them are going to be that
way
for the whites, because it's a real opportunity for a sommelier. The sommelier in me really comes out with the food and wine pairing there. So to what I see, the sun is rising on the horizon of the food and beverage landscape in our community, for sure.
Jimmy, thanks so much for coming in today. I really appreciate it.
And
thanks for your, I always love seeing you. You've got such great energy and really taking it to the next level in downtown. So thanks for everything you're doing.
Jason, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.